The Lord be with you. A reading from the Holy Gospel according to St. John. Jesus said to his disciples, I am the true vine, and my Father is the vine grower. He takes away every branch in me that does not bear fruit, and everyone that does, he prunes it so that it may bear more fruit. You are already pruned because of the word that I have spoken to you. Remain in me as I remain in you. Just as a branch cannot bear fruit on its own unless it remains a part of the vine, neither can you unless you remain in me. I am the vine and you are the branches, and whoever remains in me and I in them will bear fruit abundantly. But cut off from me, you can do nothing. Anyone who does not remain in me will be thrown out like a branch and wither, and people will gather them and throw them in the fire to be burnt. But if you remain in me and my words remain in you, you may ask what you will, and it will be done for you. By this is my Father glorified, that you bear much fruit and become my disciples. The Gospel of the Lord. Welcome our seniors as you graduate and move on forward to begin more studies and more opportunities in life. The gospel today, how very important. They've got to be some of the most important words in the whole gospel. Remain in me as I remain in you. How important were those words to the disciples and by association to us, the disciples? I love the Jerusalem Bible translation. It says, we studied it all through seminary. It doesn't say remain in me. It says make your home in me as I have made mine in you. It's not just about having a relationship with him. It's about everything I am and everything I do proceeding from him. Coming out from home, coming out from a sense of home and awareness in him. Make your home in me, because a branch cannot bear fruit on its own. You are the branches, I am the vine. Very powerful words. And yet, there's a kind of a strangeness in it, because one might think when he spoke these words, it was a very critical time. It was just after the Last Supper. At the end of the Last Supper, he was preparing to depart and go to his crucifixion, and knowing what was coming down and knowing all of the events of that night, he was going to walk into Gethsemane, into all that would unfold. And he was encouraging them, probably even as they were walking to the garden. He's saying, listen carefully to me. Make your home in me, because I know the myriad challenges. Make your home in me, because you are the branches and I am the vine. When one looks at it, you might think it's a strange time to talk about community and fellowship and love and staying close and being attached. And that would be an initial reaction, but going beyond, you would say, hey, there was no better time in the whole world to speak about the importance of community and communion and discipleship, because things were falling apart. They were at the supper and he told them, one of you is going to betray me. Hey, not I, Lord. Who is it? Tell us. No. But one of you will. There was a great unease, a great dis-ease about the whole experience of supper as they celebrated the great old traditional ritual of Passover. And right in that context, he's giving them Eucharist. This is how you're going to remember me and stay close to me. Have your home in me. And yet, when you look at it, it was the perfect time to talk about those things because his death was imminent. He was moving right to his death. And death is such a clarifying reality. It's the equalizer across everything in our world. When my loved ones die, I hear of their death. No matter what is going on in my life, that is the most important thing in the whole world. I'm going to be there, no matter what. It clarifies everything that I thought was so important. It clarifies who we really love and who our family is, and it clarifies the experience of relationship. And those words are so important in the face of that. Remain in me. Have your home in me. How important. And while it's difficult to speak to you, Jean and Rodney and Natalie and Morgan, in the face of a tragedy, the only thing would be worse would be that we wouldn't speak. And these words are particularly important. He knew the betrayal, and he knew the death and the pain and the suffering just as you do. And yet we pray with you to have the awareness of the whole, which you are certainly having. And thank you for that and for that witness, Morgan and Natalie, and being aware, because so many of us in the world can look at this, and we tend to look at tragic situations like this, and we just see victim and the other concomitant side, villain. But that's not what life is all about. There's always much more than what I initially see. And we pray with you and pray God and thank him that he is already doing that work in you. As you look at the reality, it's not about villain and victim. It's a much bigger picture that he invites us into, and that you have got a journey on and continue that journey. I just want you to know we are really with you in that journey. Because it is large, how easily we become dismissive. And we identify that's the villain and that's the victim. But thank God you are working through the reality, and that you are working through the funerals for both your mother and your father. And the tragic nature of it, it'll bring you a much greater richness, girls, as you continue the journey dealing with the whole picture. Because there are some things inside of us, and Jesus puts it very well. Here is an example. Jesus said, I am the vine and you are the branches. Imagine him being the vine and we are all the branches, and some of us need a little help. We need a lot of help sometimes. Hey, that looks not too bad, but hey, it's got a lot of rough patches. The dead leaves and needs a lot of pruning. And what Jesus says in the gospel, hey, I'll take care of that, but you're going to have to give me the opportunity. I'll cut away what is really not functioning and what is not bearing fruit, and I'll do the same for you and do the same in your life. But it's really hard for us to let go and do that, because we are very determined in our own way. And I become very attached to my own particular perspective and my own particular agenda. And I immediately want to strike out and think I know and I understand. But thank God you are having the grace of not just being trapped in that. It's a great grace. And there was a great grace for you, Morgan, last night talking with your grandmother about it. a great blessing. We want to see the whole picture, not just the side that we want to see. And Jesus promises, I'll take care of. We don't always know why, and we don't always know how. And one of the big questions in our lives is, God, why did you allow this to happen? Or I prayed for this and you didn't bring it to fruition. And we act in our relationship with him sometimes that, hey, God, this is what you are supposed to be doing for me. And really, we get it quite a bit out of balance. It's very hard to have a relationship when I operate from that singular mode. I expect you to do this for me, God. And we've all been raised up with a sense of that. And we experience the disappointment when we pray intensely to him and it doesn't work the way I want. But we journey on and we find it. You know, when we look at himself, hey, he had the betrayal, he had the crucifixion, the death, the passion. There is something to be learned in all of that. But quite often we don't learn it because I am closed to the reality and my own definitive perspective tends to take hold. I know exactly. I don't. But we would oftentimes trade faith for knowledge. We would say, Lord, let me know so that I can understand the whole thing. But what I'm saying is, Lord, then I won't need faith. Faith is what will guide us through and lead us to many more steps in the reality and in the process. And so as we look at this, hey, this is me. And these are all of the branches of my life. And for those of you that were confirmed last year and those coming up to be confirmed this Thursday night with the bishop, hey, you might say this leaf is wisdom. This one is understanding, counsel, fortitude, knowledge, piety, awareness of the Lord, or awe in the presence of the Lord. You remember them? Yeah. The gifts of the Holy Spirit that are given us. And there are many more gifts that we receive, and yet we've got to nurture them all to try and bring them to fruition, but it's hard to do. And so me, this little representation of me, it needs a lot of work. Hey, it looks kind of good on the outside, but hey, up closer, a lot of little pieces, you know, this needs to be trimmed away. And you know, there's not much value in having the dead pieces drawing a lot of life, things that are lifeless, drawing the nutrients. I need all of the good pieces. See this one here? That needs to be trimmed off and pruned. And the same in my life. And as I look at this plant, wow. And that's the representation of me. Oh, look at this. Wow. Where did they come from? Wow. Oh, look at that. They were all inside. You know what? Those are the names of the leaves. Wow. Gossip. Half-truths. Wow. Might need to be pruned away. Carelessness. Untruth. Lies. Charity. Selfishness, unselfishness, blaming, scapegoating. Somebody else is the reason. How come it always seems to be somebody else and not me? It's one of the ones that's so alive and well and proficient. Blaming, scapegoating. We know it from the story, our story. Genuineness. Wow. Envy. Truth. Resentment. Being unwilling to forgive. Forgiveness. Unforgiveness. Purpose. And all of these that have been our mantra for the past 4 years, encounter, having an encounter with Him, finding our home in Him. Perception, what do I perceive when I look out? What is my first initial perception? And then how do I allow Him to change that perspective or that perception? Purpose, generosity, intention. What is my intention? Didn't we study it for 40 days during Lent? What on earth am I here for? Enthusiasm. Enthusiasm is like having God. That's what it means literally. In theos, having God living in me. Finding my home in Him where He has chosen to live and my being reciprocal to Him. Accessible. How accessible am I to God? There are a lot of obstacles. There are a lot of things that get in the way of my relationship with Him because there's a lot I ask of Him and He doesn't seem to come through. But I got to keep working with it because He's bringing me to much higher places than I ever even dreamt of. Hospitality, detachment, what are the things that I need to let go of? Leadership. And as I look at all of these, and there are many more, and these are all the branches attached to the vine, do you know which ones grow? The ones that grow are the ones that I feed. The ones that grow are the ones that I feed. And so being attentive is extremely important, being attentive. What is it that I am nurturing? Which ones of those that we mentioned do I nurture and yet they need to be cut back and pruned and I need to be able to say, Lord, prune me. Keep me from falling into the traps that I have set for myself. They're very powerful words. They're among the most powerful words in the whole gospel. Because they relate to everything. And He spoke them at the time of His death, saying to them, stay together, find your home in me, and proceed from there. Jean Vanier, the founder of the L'Arche communities around the world for the handicapped, he went back to France. He was teaching in Canada and he went back to France one summer and he decided while he was there for the 2 months or so that he would take in two young men, Pierre and Philippe, and he took them into his own home and they were handicapped. And he had decided at the end of summer that he would, you know, leave them out again and go back to Canada. As it came to the end of the summer, he said, I became convinced that the Lord had convicted me and I could not put them out. They had their home in me. And he said, that's when that gospel passage really began to make sense to me. And so he became the founder of the L'Arche community. And later on, he said, you know, this passage of the gospel is the identification of three of the most important things in life, period. He said, everybody, every human being in the world is entitled to these three things that Jesus identifies. Two of them are in today's gospel, and the third one comes up next Sunday in the gospel. The first one is, make your home in me as I have made mine in you. He's telling us where He has made a home, and He is inviting us to be reciprocal. Yeah, we have lots of fears and worries about it, but it's a tremendous invite. It's an invite that every one of us needs to know, desires to know, and wants to know to have a home in Him. And the result, he says, of having a home in me is that you will bear much fruit and you will be my disciples. We all have a right to discipleship and to bear fruit. Jean Vanier said, everybody, specifically, he was speaking about his own community at L'Arche. They have a right to bear fruit, no matter who you are. What a great understanding of the gospel. We all have a right to a home. We all have a right to bear fruit. And the final one, he says, the result of having a home in me and being my disciples and bearing much fruit is that my joy will be in you and your joy will be complete. Wow, how powerful is that? He doesn't say happiness, he doesn't say success or anything else. He says joy, the gift of God himself, the gift of the Holy Spirit. That in the face of great adversity and great tragedy, we will know that he hasn't abandoned us, but that we still have a home in him. That we just don't understand it all like we thought we did. They're powerful words, and we pray with you, particularly Jane and Rodney and Morgan and Natalie. We pray with you especially this morning that you continue to have that hope and that hopefulness. And we all pray with you and journey with you in this.